without the mercy of God. And I'll tell you where we'd be. We'd be in hell right now. That's exactly right. Amen. Amen. We would be in hell. Amen. Turn to the book of Galatians chapter number 1 this morning. We'll read some, or read our text verses there and bring your thoughts. The Lord would have us to bring this morning out of this chapter. And so, anybody have a word of testimony before we? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Miss Tracy, honey. Go ahead, honey. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Miss Tracy. Thank you, honey. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Miss Tracy, honey. Amen. Anybody else have a word of testimony? Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I've been wanting to hear that song all week. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I thank the Lord for hearing me.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 I thought about that song, you know, last week myself, brother, maybe 2 weeks ago, thinking it's been a long time since I've heard it. Sure, I'm glad the Lord put that back on Savannah's heart to sing it. Amen. Amen. Anybody else this morning before we look at our text? All righty. Well, let's look in Galatians chapter number 1. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of the chapter, and then we're going to look here at our thought this morning. The Bible says this, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to look at these scriptures this morning. I pray that you'd help us. And God, would you just do a work that only you can do? I pray that you would unfold this text to us, Lord, and Father, be glorified in all that's done this morning. Thank you for the songs we've heard. Lord, thank you for it being well with the souls of those of us who have come to Christ. And Lord, as we do have that wonderful peace, Lord, we can rejoice in the greatest story that we've ever heard, that God so loved the world. We're grateful this morning, God, that we have a gospel that is not weakened, that has not been changed over time. Though some have tried to pervert it, some have tried to dilute it, some have tried to do away with it, yet the pure gospel still stands, Lord, of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning in these few minutes, Lord, to speak the truth as would be pleasing unto you. Father, we need you this morning. Without you, there's no help. Unless the Holy Spirit helps us, there is no preaching that's going to be done. But God, I pray that you would roll back the blinders from eyes, whether it's in this room, whether it's on the internet. Father, whether it's we take the message and speak what we've heard to someone else during the week, whether it's a family, a friend, a neighbor, co-worker. And Lord, you would help us to be faithful to the Word of God and to the gospel. And we'll thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. I want to just preach this morning on this thought, no other gospel. No other gospel. I know this is not a tent meeting and I know this is not an evangelistic service, but this is the text where the Lord would have us be this morning. Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about that as we're going through book by book in the New Testament on Wednesday night, just looking at an overview of the New Testament, seeing what each book teaches, the main parts, the themes, things of that nature. And as Paul has written this book to Galatia, we talked a little bit, is he writing to the ethnic Galatians in the northern part of Galatia? Is he writing to the churches in the southern part? It would seem more than likely that he's writing to the churches where he's ministered in the areas of Lystra and Derbe and places like that that are mentioned in the book of Acts, over in 13 and especially 14. Probably the epistle was written somewhere around AD 49, 50, maybe as late as 51. But this is probably one of the earliest of Paul's epistles that he's written. And it's important because if this is indeed one of the earliest epistles that Paul has written, tells us right where Paul's concerned. Paul is concerned about the gospel. And if Paul is concerned about the gospel, listen to me, God's people ought to be concerned about the gospel. Now, here's how I struggle. All right, I'm going to just open up my heart to you this morning. Here's how I struggled in thinking about which direction to go this morning with the text and all of that. Lord, here we are in America. Here we are in a good independent Baptist church. The church has been here nearly 40 years. And our people have heard the gospel over and over and over and over again. Our people understand that it's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Our people have heard that over and over again. And Lord, what is it that I can say to the folks that they've not already heard? What about this morning's message is going to help us? Because as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, I'm not being ugly, but sometimes here's what I say. I know some people come in sleepy. I get that. I didn't get to bed till late last night looking back over some things for the service this morning. I know some folks come in sleepy, but I've seen people go to sleep when you're preaching, when I'm preaching. I mean, I've seen it. It happens. It happens not, you know, I mean, ain't nobody doing it now. All right, I'm telling you, because they'd be like, man, I can't do it now. But sometimes you wonder if folks are connected. And sometimes as soon as you preach on Calvary, as soon as you preach the gospel, it's like, I've heard this before, I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to tell you, there's an issue that I have. Whenever someone is giving the gospel, and folks kind of get turned off by the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:18 is a verse you need to memorize. You need to mark it in your Bible, you need to highlight it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So let me ask you a question. If somebody says, well, I've heard the gospel before, I'm going to go to sleep. I wonder if the first part of 1 Corinthians 1:18 doesn't apply to that person. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, listen to me. Preach on Calvary. Preach on Calvary. I knew a preacher down home years ago. I used to get his tapes on the radio, and I must have gotten 5 or 6 tapes out of Isaiah 53 for Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I say, bless the Lamb of God. I mean, you can't wear out Isaiah 53. Amen. I say, praise the Lord for folks who will stick to the stuff and preach the gospel. Now, understand that we can't go through and preach every aspect of the gospel every service. Being expositional, we're going to touch on the gospel, but we're going to touch on some things that are not the gospel this morning. But as a pastor, I struggle because these are things that people have heard from the time they were young children coming up and have heard it over and over again. But here's the thing, as the Lord has placed this text on my heart, this is where I've been studying for the last couple of weeks in the book of Galatians, and looking at some things in the text and how Paul is defending the gospel, defending his apostleship. This text this morning is very important because it brings us face to face with the issue of the day. What is the issue of the day? I'm on a little preacher's group, and we talk on Marco Polo some, and then we'll talk about what are some issues, what are some things to handle here, some things to handle there. People say, well, the cell phone is the number one issue because of all the things that's going on, all the bad that's on the cell phone. Cell phones are bad. They're terrible. That's right. Amen. What's going on? Well, Disney has come in, and let me just go and say this, that when I think of Disney, I think of Treasure Island, Davy Crockett, and the Swiss Family Robinson, and Old Yeller. That's what I think of when I think of Disney. But I'm going to tell you this idea of Disney wanting to put sodomites and lesbians and the alternative lifestyle into their movies and to push that on our young people. Let me tell you something, parents. Listen to me. You need to be very careful about what you let your children watch. We think sometimes putting the DVD in and turning it on and let them sing songs, it's entertainment to them. It may not just be entertainment. It may be indoctrination. So you be very careful what you allow into your home. Now, for me, listen to me. I'm going to watch Davy Crockett, Born on a Mountaintop, Tennessee. If you don't like it, don't have to come by my house. It's all right. I'm going to watch Treasure Island, Swiss Family Robinson. I'm going to do that. But listen to me. This new trash that's coming out, it's not coming into my house. I'm not going to cotton to it. I'm not going to put up with it. We're not going to have any of that trash. Tell you, men don't marry men. I have never looked at another man and think, man, he's good. I've never thought that. And if you're a man and you've ever thought that about anybody else, don't let me know, because I'll put you in your place. There's no way that a woman can look at another woman and say, I've fallen in love with her. It does not happen that way. That is not the way that you're wired. Listen to me. God, I understand we live in a fallen world and people have ungodly desires. Okay? They do have that. They do. Don't get me wrong. I can go to 1 Corinthians 6. We're not preaching there this morning. But what I want to remind us is this. We've got to be very careful, because what appears innocent is laden with poison. What's wrong with eating a fruit? Nothing. Unless God said, don't eat it. So with that in mind, Paul is defending the gospel. If you look in verse number 1, we see Paul's authority. A lot of people do not like the term authority, but the word apostle carries with it authority. Paul is an apostle. What is an apostle? Well, the word means just simply one sent, somebody who's sent on a mission or a message. But if you will look in Acts chapter number 1, we're not going to turn over there. An apostle, when they chose Matthias by lot, was to be somebody who was with them from the beginning, who saw the risen Christ. And so with that, an apostle here in the Pauline sense where he's at is someone who has been a witness of the resurrected Christ. Paul was on the road to Damascus when the resurrected Christ appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And those pricks of conscience that he was getting from all that was going on. And so he was called to be an apostle, watch this, not of men, neither by man. It's one thing to say, and a lot of what Brother Mike said around us in Sunday school is exactly right, and I want to just reemphasize this, that it may be, Brother Mike didn't say this, it may be the church that sends missionaries out, okay? In fact, it is the church that sends missionaries out. Amen, that's right. But let me tell you something. I don't come to people and say, David, you're called to preach. I don't come to you and say, Brother John, you're called. I don't do that. That's not my business. Anybody who says that preachers do that, brother, they're out of line. The Holy Ghost still has not given up his authority to reach down, to touch a man's heart, and to call him to preach. Now, we'll say this. Should he go out and minister in the gospel, it is right and proper to make that the church put their sanction behind him, make sure his doctrine's right, make sure that he is right in his life and all the rest of those things before he's sent out. But as far as the call of God on a man, that's not my call. That's from a higher pay grade. Almighty God is the one who does the calling. And so in Paul's life, he was called to be an apostle. Watch this. Not by men. It wasn't even by man. Now, what do I mean by that? The other apostles did not call Paul. In fact, they were running from him. At least their converts were in Acts 8:1. The church in Jerusalem did not call Paul to be an apostle. The leadership of the church in Jerusalem did not call Paul to be an apostle. It was God. And we've got to nail that down, because Paul is getting ready to use a tone that most people don't like this morning. Most people do not like a tone of authority. Listen, it's not me who has authority. It is that Bible that has the authority. I don't have any authority over your life. Listen to me. Don't come ask me if you can buy a certain car. You pick out the car, you buy it. That way when you buy a lemon, you don't blame me. It's all on you. Okay? I don't need to come talk to you about how you buy your car, how you spend your money. I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. But this Bible tells us what's right and what's wrong. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to order our lives. A lot of folks just don't like that. But Paul is called to be an apostle. And watch this. All the brethren which are with me. We see not only Paul's authority, we see Paul's ministry. Number one, his ministry was with brethren, with people. Let me just say this. There are too many lone rangers in the Christian life. Too many lone rangers. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I don't need anybody's help. Listen, I need help. I need help. You need help. And if you don't need help, you're being dishonest. The English poet John Donne said this, no man is an island. Where did he get that? He got that out from Romans 14. No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And the pattern is you and I need each other. Someone says, well, preacher, I'm going to do it all on my own. It's interesting when you watch the African Serengeti, what happens to the gazelle that goes out on his own. He's easy prey. He's an easy target for the devil. Paul, as a preacher, was not a lone ranger. He didn't go out and do his own thing just because he's wanting to do his own thing. He was called by God. That's exactly right. We know in Acts chapter number 13, that church at Antioch sent them out for the work they were called to do. And he, along with Barnabas and some other brethren, went out to accomplish that work. And so I'm just simply going to say this, that he was not afraid to work with other people who were of the same doctrine and the same mind. Now, Paul's the leader here. It's obvious he's a leader. Okay? He may take some counsel. He may get some help from some other folks, but he's the leader. But here's the thing I want us to see. Not just that. It is a blessing to Paul to have help. But it's also a blessing for these other people to help Paul. We're in the ministry together. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that we are laborers together with God. We always emphasize the with God part, but let me go back and emphasize we are laborers together. You and I are laborers together. With God, yes, but you and I labor together. That means that the yoke that we yoke up with needs to be an equal yoke. Okay? We labor together, we work together. We're on the same team. We're not on different teams. Okay? What do I mean by that? What is the number one object we ought to be concerned with? We ought to be concerned first and foremost, primarily, with the glory of God. God does things for His own glory. And you and I, whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do things for the glory of God. So we see Paul's authority, we see Paul's ministry. And notice in verse number 4, we get part of his message here. Look at this. Verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. It sounds like there was a trade that took place. Right. Amen. Christ gave himself for our sins. There is a trade there. And here's the purpose of that trade, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So part of the message that Paul is preaching is the message that Christ gave himself for our sins. Now, there's a meme that's gone around on Facebook, and it's got a Leonard Ravenhill, wonderful preacher, and he said this. He said, don't just be calling, don't tell other people you're just a saved sinner. Don't tell people you're a saved sinner. Either you're saved or you're a sinner. And I'm thinking to myself, Brother Ravenhill, you were a great man of God. You were used greatly of God. But Paul said this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You and I are sinners. Don't get away from that. Don't get away from that thought. Wherefore let him that sinneth take heed lest he fall. You get to the point you think where you're above sin, you're beyond sin, guess what's going to happen? You are getting ready to fall into a trap. You're getting ready to stumble and you're getting ready to fall. Tell you and I can't even walk without God's grace holding us up every step of the way. You and I can't take a single breath unless God gives us the grace to take that breath. The breath that we have, our times are in God's hands, and He will tell us when it's time to go, when it's time to stand. God holds us up. So I want us to understand that, look, we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. But you and I, once we are saved, we have become partakers of the divine nature. We're to put off the old man and to put on the new man. There are two people on the inside. There's a well-known Bible teacher. It's John MacArthur, well-known Bible teacher. There's a lot of good that he says, a lot of good that he doesn't say. He said this one time. He said, I don't understand how it is that people say that believers have two natures. Believers only have one nature. I'm thinking, John, where in the world did you get that, Doc? Apparently, I know you ain't reading the same Bible I'm reading. There's two of me. And if you're honest, there are two of you. There's the one on the inside who longs after the things of God, who thirsts after the things of God, who wants to walk with God. And yet there's this carcass of flesh that pulls back that says that I don't want God. I don't want to go to church. I'm not interested in the things of God. I don't want to stay for this. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. May I say to you, friend, that if you have truly been saved, there is a struggle with sin on the inside that was not present before you got saved. Oh, there may have been some human guilt. There may have been some issues that you were concerned about this or concerned about that. But I want us to understand this morning that when a person is saved, the Spirit of God moves in on the inside. The inner man, that which is born, that part that's in you, 1 John says, he's born of God. He cannot sin because he's born of God. But this fleshly body wants to go after sin. Sad, sad, sad. That's just the way that it is. So there's going to be a constant struggle. Well, I just want to say thank God that Christ gave himself for my sins. Amen. One of these days, the time is going to come when I will not have to worry about sin anymore. Amen. The day is going to come when I'll lay down this carcass, this body of flesh, and my soul will soar to be with God. And I'll be in a place where it'll be free from sin, free from temptation, free from ungodliness, free from wickedness, and I'll forever be with the Lord. And then when the Lord comes back from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, that's my body going to rise first, all right? Amen. And those who come back with Christ, wait a minute, I thought they were there. No, the body's in the grave. The soul comes back and is reunited with that glorified body that's resurrected, that's changed, and I'll have a glorified body that will be able to worship God perfectly, be able to worship God for eternity without becoming tired, without becoming sidetracked, without losing focus, without sin. What a day that's going to be. Thank God that Christ gave himself for our sins. Amen. There's so much I could say about that. Now, I want you to look at verse number 6. We've seen Paul's authority, his ministry. We looked a little bit of his message. Look at Paul's marvel here for a second. Look at verse number 6. Paul says, I marvel. Now, we don't usually say marvel this day and time unless we're talking about the comic book series. We'd probably say, I'm astonished, or it blows my mind. But Paul said this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul, marvel. Now, I want you to look carefully at the text, because this is not me, this is the text. Paul did not say, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Christ that called you into the grace of Christ. Paul said, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Paul is speaking of himself in the third person. Here's what happened. Paul has come into Galatia. He's preached the gospel. A number of folks have been converted and are now making up the churches, part of the churches in Galatia. Paul has left. After Paul left, a group of folks who really felt like they really needed to help Paul with his message came in there and began to preach another gospel. Now, we're not going to turn to every single verse this morning, but just to show you the message that was being preached, if you look in verse number 2 of chapter number 5, it says, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Verse 6, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The problem that happened is that these folks, the Bible does not use this term, we call them Judaizers. They were folks who came in behind Paul to tell his converts that unless they were circumcised and kept the law of Moses, that they could not be saved. Paul, when he heard that news, it infuriated him. It hurt him. It astonished him. And the Spirit of God moved him to write this letter to the church to try to correct that issue. He marveled. So here's the thing. It's interesting. They heard the message of grace from Paul. They trusted him with that message. Listen to me. But then somebody else came in and were very smooth and very slick, and they transferred their trust in a sense. Now, we're going to cover this whole thing. We're talking about the gospel. But as far as the messenger of the gospel here, because Paul said you're moved away from him, they moved their trust away from what Paul said to what these other folks said. Now, listen to me. That's almost human nature. If I say believe, or I say be baptized, which is it easier for you to do? There are people who will say this, do I truly believe? Have I truly believed? Have I truly come to faith in Christ? And other folks say, oh, I've been baptized. You see that? See the difference? See the difference? Do you truly believe? I've had folks, am I truly saved? Have I truly believed? Because it's one thing to evaluate your faith, but it's really easy to look back on a work that you've done and say, oh, I've done that, I'm saved. I've talked to people before. I think I've mentioned this here before. But I was in I think I was back at our mall down home. This was back when Radio Shack was in the mall. That tells you how long back this has been. And I was talking to the lady at the counter, and I asked her if she'd been saved. She said, oh, I've done that. That's like me asking you if you've taken your driver's license test or if you've gotten your flu shot. Oh, I've done that. Not a big deal. Tell you something, asking her that question and talking to some other people I know, if I were to go to Townsend, Tennessee this morning and head up that road toward the school and stop that house on the left and talk to Brother Bud Buchanan and say, hey, Bud, have you been saved? I'd hear a, woo, 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 and I'd see some tears well up in his eyes and him tell me about the time that he was down in Madisonville 12:15, and the Holy Ghost came in that bar behind the chicken wire and said, Bud, you're going straight to hell. And then 3 months later, he got on his knees in his bathroom, got gloriously birthed into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes. So don't just simply say, somebody says, oh, I've done that. You mark her down, friend. They do not know what salvation is. When the Holy Ghost of God shakes you over hell, lets you know that you're nothing but a sinner, you're going to burn forever, and God steps in and shows you you don't have to go to hell. It'll do something to your soul, amen. Hallelujah, it will. Oh, yes. Yes. You may not be as vocal and you may not jump up and down, but friend, you'll have a testimony that's a biblical testimony of salvation. Paul's talking to some folks who heard a slick speaker who showed them a few verses out of the Word of God that told them they had to get circumcised in order to be saved. Be going and say it, friend. There is no other gospel. All righty? Now, here's what Paul says about that marveling. He said, look in verse number 7. He said he's called you unto another, they called you from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Look at verse number 7. Which is not another. There is no other gospel. But there be some, watch this, that trouble you. Why did they trouble them? How did they trouble them? Watch me here. Paul comes to town, he preaches, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You can be saved from all those things. We couldn't be justified by the law of Moses by trusting Christ. Somebody comes in and says, what Paul says is good, but you really have to be physically circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. What I've done is I've given you two totally opposite and contradictory messages. And here's the trouble, it confuses people. Look at me. God is not the author of confusion. There's one gospel. Now, we can sit down with a cup of coffee and we can talk about the gospel, the kingdom, and the everlasting gospel in Revelation. We can talk about all that. But I want you to hear me. I'm not so much concerned about Revelation right now as I'm concerned with the first Sunday in April in 22. Because here's the thing. There's one gospel. You will hear the gospel and be saved, or you'll reject the gospel and go to hell. We hear see these memes on Facebook all the time. You know, some of y'all show that your mama never turned around and whooped you with a flip-flop while she's driving the car, and it shows. I saw a meme the other day that said some of y'all have never taken a wrench and smacked your solenoid to start your car, and it shows. I'm going to tell you something. Some folks have not been shaken over hell, and it shows. I realize that not everybody's got to be shaken over hell. I still remember the testimony of Ian Paisley, the great preacher from North Ireland. When he was a six-year-old boy, his mother had taught in Sunday school about the Good Shepherd in John 10, and he went up and tugged on his mama's dress and said, "I want to know about Jesus as my Good Shepherd." Later on, he became a great big 6'4" preaching machine, and though he wasn't right about a lot of things, being a free Presbyterian, God love him, bless his heart, I'm going to tell you that man knew what the gospel was. And he was not, and anybody who'll get up and call the Pope the Antichrist to his face in public's got my hat off. Amen. 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 Yeah, you can actually find it. Just Google it sometime. Ian Paisley, European Parliament back in 1988, called Pope John Paul II the Antichrist. I love the man. Amen. Amen. That's right. Yeah, that's right. But these folks were confused. Listen to me. If you're confused, you have no peace. You're troubled. Was I circumcised? Am I keeping all the law? Am I really keeping the law? Well, I'm doing work, so I must be doing pretty good. No, the message is by faith. It's not by keeping the law. These folks were troubled because they were confused. They had no peace. They were given the wrong counsel. I want you to look at verse number 8. The word in verse number 8, look here, but though we are an angel preaching of the gospel unto you, then that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. There are two meanings to the word though. There's the meaning of unless, or there's the meaning of even if. And it's the second one that is the meaning here. But though we, even if we were to preach another message to you, or an angel were to preach to you any other gospel, look at the end of verse number 8. Let him be accursed. Look at verse number 9. If any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That word cursed, you've heard the word before, that is the word anathema. Let me give you a fancy, good old Midwestern word to describe anathema. Let him be damned. Let him die and be judged under the judgment of God and go to hell.
Right.
Tell you something, friend, that's serious. That's serious. That's absolutely serious. These people, look at this in verse number 7. The gospel, he said, there, which is not another, there's some trouble, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't really care much for things that are perverted. Amen. Like the new Disney.
Amen.
Listen to me. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, the White House and all the rest of it. That's exactly right. Amen. Hello, Facebook. I'm surprised we're still on, to be quite honest with you. I really am. Amen. I'm surprised old Mark hadn't, like, you know, clipped our wings and said, y'all can't fly on the internet. Tell you something, friend. Someone who perverts something is they take it and they twist it to make it something that it's not. I'm going to be very tactful in what I'm saying here, but there is something wonderful and special about a man and a woman in a marriage relationship sharing what God has designed man and woman to do. But you listen to me. Some old man come alongside some young girl, 65, 70 years younger than he is, and start laying hands on her. Tell you what, buddy, that ain't going to happen here. It happens here, buddy. You're going to get hurt. Say, well, I'll leave. You might leave feet first. On a stretcher. In peace, you know, or several stretchers. You want to know the truth about it. That's exactly right. Say, preacher, that's mean. No, that's just called being protective of what God's given us responsibility over. Amen. Amen. We have cameras in here. We have cameras to make sure that we see what's going on and that it protects our testimonies so that everybody's got a good testimony and it protects us. Amen. It also will be something that will go viral if we ever find out anybody does anything like that, because it'd go on Facebook and they'd see somebody get the full beep humbled out of them. Amen. Because whatever we do heartily is under the Lord. Amen. That's right. Come on now. We don't like things that are perverted. Listen, I don't like a perverted gospel. Let me tell you something, friend. There's only one gospel. And you say, preacher, we've heard this before. We've heard it before, but I want us to hear it one more time. Because folks in here need to hear it, apparently, because God's got us at the text this morning. And it also very well could be that you're going to come in contact with somebody at work this week, and they are going to be a proponent of a perverted gospel. Well, listen, not everybody who is preaching a perverted gospel is a perverted person. And I say that because there are some people who are just parroting what they've heard and they don't understand it. That's why whenever you see the Jehovah's Witnesses go out, a lot of times there'll be an older one and a younger one, and the younger one sits there and kind of takes notes and listens and does all that. You may be able to help that younger person by pointing out the wrong interpretations that their religious organization has given them. So I will say, show grace to younger people. Show grace if people are teachable. But brother, if someone is dead set in their ways, they will not listen. Brother, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Don't waste your time with him. Say, preacher, I feel like, well, if you feel like the Lord wants you to give you a special favor with somebody and you feel like you can do that, that's fine. But I'm telling you, look in that King James Bible, the man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, you reject them. You go on, you find somebody else who wants help. There are too many people out there who want help. And there are enough people, they say, I'm closing my ears to the truth. I don't want any help. That's fine. It's between you and the Lord. You know, God will take care of you, and I'm going to help somebody else who wants some help. There are folks who pervert the gospel. Listen to me. The gospel is not baptism. The gospel is not baptism. The gospel is not good works. The gospel is not the Lord's Supper. The gospel is not going through a religious ceremony of confirmation or anything of that nature. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God. There is no other gospel. It is plus nothing, minus nothing. Either the Son of God took my sins on Himself and paid for my sins under the wrath of God and appeased the wrath of God, or I'm going to hell. There's no other way about it. No two ways about it. You listen to me. Either the Son of God paid for your sins and you're saved on your way to heaven, or you're going to hell because there is no hope. I'm not trusting baptism. I'm not trusting a religious ceremony. I'm trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. He said, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I've cast everything that I have, my body, my soul, everything that I have, on the finished work of God. And if I go to hell, then Christ is a liar. But I know that God cannot lie, and I've trusted Him with my never dying soul, because the travail of His soul was looked upon, and Christ satisfied the wrath of God. Amen. On my behalf, He did. He did. Amen. Won't you listen to me? The word of faith that you hear on television is not the gospel. Kenneth Copeland is a false prophet. He's going to die and go to hell unless he gets saved. Benny Hinn's a false prophet. I think T.D. Jakes has got 9 members in the Trinity. Listen to me. I'm a country boy, and I don't add up. And listen, I know a lot of folks talk about old Denzel. They like Denzel Washington. Well, Denzel made his statement on the whole Will Smith issue thing here after he was attending a leadership conference under T.D. Jakes. I wouldn't trust his theological counsel as far as I kick this building with my left foot. Besides that, I'll just throw this out. This is completely free. I couldn't care less what Hollywood says. Just because you're an actor in a movie and you make tens of millions of dollars, you have an opinion like everybody else has an opinion, and yours don't mean any more just because you've got a bunch of money and a place to say it. Amen. Pretty well useless, that's right. Pretty well useless. That's right, just like athlete, just like pro, well, most, a lot of pro athletes, same way, amen. I just ain't got no use for that stuff. No use for it. No use for it. The word of faith, folks, pervert the gospel. Here's their gospel. Give and it shall be given unto me. That's their gospel. The Jehovah's Witness perverts the gospel. They deny the deity of Christ. The Mormons pervert the gospel. Here's what they say. The Book of Mormon says this. Book of 2 Nephi 25:23. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. After all we can do. Look at me. I can do nothing. I am going to be saved by grace, look at me, or I will not be saved at all. I've put all my eggs into one basket. I've not diversified my assets. I've put them all into one account. And that's the account that Christ settled on the cross by the shedding of his precious blood. And listen to me. If somebody were to come in today and say, I've got a revelation from heaven, let them be damned and go to hell. I wish I could find it, but it's so far back in my YouTube history, there's no way I'd be able to find it. I guess it was about 6 years ago, I was listening to these other messages that people have put out. Somebody put a compilation of false teachings, false gospels, and one of them, this person had written a book, I think it was a book, and they were doing a radio interview about the book, and they said that there was an angel, they had received a vision from an angel, and the angel told them of you know, there was some truth that was mixed with error, as it always is, but the angel told them that after life is over, and a person goes out into eternity, that the common teaching that there's no chance after death is not true. And that after death, people have an opportunity to repent and to, you know, get right or whatever after. Friend, that's heresy. That is rank wickedness and ungodliness. I'd sooner listen to the Witch of Endor than I'd listen to that. May I say to you, friend, that's absolute filth and unrighteousness and ungodliness, perverting the gospel and deceiving people. Listen to me. You better believe that you better know that you have believed the gospel. Amen. Listen to me. If your gospel requires baptism, tongues, good works, signs and wonders, anything like that, if that's what your gospel requires, that is a false gospel. You listen to me. That's a false gospel. You're going to be saved by the grace of God alone, or you will not be saved. You will not be saved. Paul said there is no other gospel. And here's the thing. Brother Kurt, Brother David, you rub shoulders with people all the time who have believed other gospels. I mean, some of them probably don't even believe anything. But they have different gospels. Well, you have to have the evidence of the Holy Ghost by speaking in an unknown tongue. Can you give me chapter and verse on that in its context and its doctrinal heading? Can you do that? If you can do that, then we'll do our best to, you know, untie the bow tie and sell your Honda and your Yamaha. You cannot find that in the Bible. It's not there. No. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. You listen to me. There's one gospel. There is no other gospel. And if we don't get that gospel in the hands of our family and friends, they're not going to be saved. What gospel are you trusting? What are you trusting? There's some folks I've not seen seen fruit out of their lives, just haven't seen any of it. What gospel are you trusting? What kind of fruit do you have? Are you saved?
Amen.
Say, preacher, you're trying to make me doubt, and I'm just asking you some questions. Just asking questions.
Amen.
Have you trusted Christ? Say, yes, I have trusted Christ alone for my salvation. Well, here's how you get fruit. You read the Word of God. You pray. And you obey. And fruit will naturally come from a person who's truly been saved. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to try to single out too many people, okay? I'm going to talk to the young folks just for a second. Talk to some of you young teenagers. I think every young teenager in this building has made, look at me now, has made a profession. I think all y'all have. Okay? I think y'all have. Okay? If there's a word of testimony, if you're old enough to understand your need for salvation, look at me now, you're old enough to be spiritual. That means you're old enough to worship. Well, I just worship inside of my heart. Well, I wonder if that's really the case if you're playing a video game or you're watching a ball game. I'm just asking. I mean, if you like the last one of your video games, I can't believe that, and you want to chuck your controller across the room, don't tell me you just worship God in your heart.
Amen. Right.
Amen. If you're old enough to be saved, you're old enough to be spiritual. You're old enough to raise your hand in worship. You're old enough to sing and sing loud. You're old enough to testify. Anybody have a word of testimony? Look at me. You ready? You ready? Miss Sarah's going to testify. Brother Allen's going to testify. Brother John might but anybody else want to testify? Why is it always going to be the same people? Why can't you testify? You believe the right gospel, haven't you? Well, preacher, I just don't believe in women testifying. Well, just let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Get you a Sharpie and mark it out. Be like Thomas Jefferson, cut that verse out of your Bible. It's okay. It's all right. Why can't you testify? You glad you're saved?
Amen.
Glad you're on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be like Brother Sammy Allen. Anybody got any joy? Anybody got any joy? Anybody got any joy? Amen. Not try to work it up, but like if you got some joy, I mean, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, let's have a little bit of worship time, a little bit of praise time here. I understand worship's like this and praises like this. I get it. I know the Hebrew and the Greek word. I understand all that. Listen to me. If you believe the gospel, the right gospel, it's done something to you. I can see some fruit in people's lives. I can see that. That's a blessing. I'm not a judge, but we all inspect fruit. That's being judgmental. Well, just buy your rotten apple and bite into it next time. Tell me what you think about it. Amen. Leave your car. Man, I tell you, you judge everybody. I judge everybody at Walmart. I judge everybody. I lock my car. I judge every one of them birds out there. I lock my car. When I go, how can I say this? When I go to public places, I make sure that I can take care of me and my own. And if you can't run at 1,200 feet per second, I can take care of you.
Right.
Listen to me. We judge people all the time. We're not talking about in the same sense as Brother Mike was talking about this morning. What I'm asking you this morning, let's say you say you're saying hateful things. Paul apparently judged some people and said, let them die and go to hell.
Right.
Yeah. He said, I wish they were cut off that trouble you. Chapter 5. There's a lot there. Well, this morning, we're just going to stop. I'm going to cut it off right here. We're going to stop. There's one gospel. There aren't two. There aren't three. There aren't many roads to heaven. There aren't many, there's no many ways to the happy hunting ground. Listen to me. There's one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the only means of salvation. And this morning, I want to just stop, lay it out to you as well. You may have been in church all your life. You may have been in church since you've been born. And you just have never truly been saved. If you will simply put your faith and trust in Christ to save you from hell, save you from your sin, to save you, that is the message of the gospel. We repent. We just like what Paul said, repentance toward God. We turn toward God, place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a work. It's not a work. It's the message Paul preached. So this morning I'm going to leave it with you. All right. Amen. Amen. Let's see here.